This is Stephen Strang. Today on the Strang Report, I want to memorialize the life of a great man who had a huge impact on me. You've probably heard of him. His name is Carl Strader. He was best known as the pastor of Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida. He went to be with his maker earlier today. I only found out a couple of hours ago, and I immediately came into the studio to just share my thoughts. We will, of course, do a major obituary for him on Charisma News. And you're going to hear my thoughts and recollections about this man that impacted me so much. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
You know, today I'm a little bit sad. That happens anytime that you lose somebody who you loved. And I loved Carl Strader. But I'm happy because I know he's in the arms of Jesus. And he had a huge impact on me. I grew up in Lakeland, Florida. I graduated from Lakeland High School. And my family attended First Assembly of God, which at the time was considered a large Assemblies of God. I don't remember exactly how big it was. I'm going to guess it was maybe 800 members. Anyway, we considered it a big church back then. J. Foy Johnson, who is also in heaven, was the pastor, and I grew up with his boys, and I was a teenager when Brother Johnson actually was elected the district superintendent, and there was all the speculation on who would fill his very big shoes. And I can remember they were talking about a young man who'd been an associate pastor up in South Bend, Indiana, and I can remember he came to the church and preached his first sermon. It would have been in 1966. I was 14 years old, ninth grade. I remember it well. And it was a very powerful service, and a man named Jim Malloy, who I think is also in heaven, walked the aisle that day and got saved, and he later went into the ministry, and just over the years, people always talked about how Jim Malloy got saved that day. I mean, it obviously had a big impact on me. Carl Strader had four kids. They were all a few years younger than me, but I've stayed in touch mostly with his older son, whose name is also Stephen Strader, and we've had a lot of interaction over the years. As a teenager in the youth group, they used to invite the youth group over to the parsonage, which was a couple of blocks from the church, and they would have what they called an afterglow. His wife, Joyce Strader, took a special interest in all the teenagers, but somehow she took a special interest in me. A few years later, when I met Joy, I met her at Southeastern, actually met her in Lakeland, and we got married while I was still a student at the University of Florida. That was just a very special time. I mean, even though I'd gone off to college and even though my family had actually moved out of state by that time, she just took an interest in us. I remember it. And Brother Strader, as we called him back then, actually as I called him my entire life, I always called him Brother Strader. You know, he was real good friends with Roy Harthorn. That's where Joy and I ended up going to Roy Harthorn's church when we moved to Orlando. We were very, very involved in the ministry in lots of ways. And I had an idea when I was 24 years old to start a little church magazine. And I did a story, it was maybe the fourth issue, more or less, about how there were kind of an explosion of these churches that were Assemblies of God, but they were very open to the charismatic movement. In fact, my earliest recollections of what we call the charismatic movement was while I was in First Assembly during that era. Now, this would have been the late 60s. I was raised a Pentecostal, raised in the Assemblies of God, as anybody who knows my story knows. I can remember about Lutherans and Episcopalians receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were welcomed into First Assembly, as we called it back then. And I remember that Brother Strader had a real emphasis on prayer. One of the first things he did when he became pastor is he wanted to prayer condition the church. It was kind of a play on words of air condition. And anybody who lives in Florida was just, air conditioning was just becoming common back then. And so he talked about prayer conditioning the church. And I remember I guess I didn't really see it, of course, but he would spend hours in the sanctuary walking back and forth and praying over the pews and the people were there. I can remember when he first came in, he had a photographer take pictures of people in the service, kind of go row by row and take pictures. And the reason was that Brother Strader wanted to memorize everyone's name, and he did. He was in his late 30s then. And First Assembly started to boom. Even though it was a very successful church, it started to boom. It wasn't long until they built a larger sanctuary. And that was about the time I went off to college. And I maintained a relationship with the church. I would go down there whenever I could. And as I began to move nationally as editor of Charisma magazine, I used to go to leader meetings with Jamie Buckingham, kind of tag along with him. And in a lot of those leader meetings, Carl Strader would be there because he was respected outside of Assemblies of God circles. And later, I became more involved with some of the things going on at Oral Roberts University. He was a regent there for a number of years. And I had occasion to go out to Oral Roberts University and kind of get to know him as a grown-up, if that makes sense. I mean, it was so long ago, it's hard to think about it. But I was just a kid, and Brother Strader was a whole generation ahead of me. He was almost exactly the same age as my mother, who's still living. You know, I basically didn't hang out with my parents' friends, if you know what I mean. But over the years, I got to know him. And then he wanted to write a book. And he talked to me about it, and I actually co-authored the book. I kind of ghost wrote it with him and then published it. And it was my very first publishing venture. I used the name Joy Books. Now, if you know me, you know my wife's name is Joy, and I thought that was a great name. But she did not want me building a publishing house with her name. So I think probably that's the only book we ever published under Joy Books. And of course, years later, we published under the name Creation House and later Charisma House. But Carl Strader's book was my very first book. It was called Mountain Moving Motivation. And it was kind of his life story and how he believed that if you had faith, you could move mountains. And he told a story on how he was raised in the Methodist Church and how he went to Bob Jones University, which Bob Jones University is a great school. I have a lot of respect for it, but it's known as, well, it's how do I say this tactfully? It's not known as being Pentecostal, and at one time was sort of anti-Pentecostal. And in that setting, I don't remember all the details, but in that era, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think he may have been actually asked to leave. And he always took it as kind of a badge of honor that Bob Jones also asked Billy Graham to leave. Now, this would have been a number of years before. Now, in that era, he also got involved with radio. Apparently, he had a radio program. Of course, I didn't know him then. He would just talk about it later. He had a great voice and a great command of the English language and a real passion for Jesus. And that kind of translated that when he came to First Assembly, he actually had a radio program. The church did back then. And then later they had a powerful and very influential radio station called WCIE, which stood for Where Christ Is Everything. And I used to listen to WCIE. It would reach all the way up to Orlando. Of course, this was long before the days of the internet and Christian television was just sort of in its infancy back then. But I'm just sort of telling you what happened over the years. Then they bought the Carpenter's Home property across town. Now, the Carpenter's Home was a retirement center for members of the Carpenters Union, and it was a huge piece of property on a beautiful lake in the north part of Lakeland, and the church was able to use it, and they changed the name to Carpenter's Home Church. And for those of us who lived in Lakeland, everybody knew the Carpenter's Home. That's what they called the retirement center. And I don't know the details, but I'm guessing that over time there wasn't as much need for it. And they sold it to the church. And they built a huge sanctuary. I think if it was full, it would seat like 10,000 people. Carl Strader was a friend and became involved with David Yonggi Cho from Seoul, Korea. In fact, one time I went to some kind of meeting in Seoul, Korea, my first visit to South Korea, and Carl Strader was on that trip. I remember visiting with him. There were some other international trips that we were both on in which I was able to kind of get to know him, and I had so much respect for him. Now, let me talk to you about the influence he had. Not only did he kind of introduce me to the charismatic movement, so to speak, but he had a bigger view than a lot of Pentecostal preachers in his generation or in that era, and I don't say that critically, but he just did. And I think that he even helped shape my view of the church and the broadness of the church and being open to the fullness of the Spirit and focusing on prayer and faith and those kinds of things. When I grew up, there were an awful lot of do's and don'ts, you know, like we couldn't go to movies, we couldn't dance, the women couldn't wear lipstick. I just remember that it was just a fact of life. That was the Pentecostal subculture. Carl Strader did not grow up in that subculture, and I'm sure that that influenced his view of things too. His wife was also very open to the things of the Spirit. She particularly had connections, as I recall, with some Lutheran charismatics. She was actually from the Dakota area, as I recall. She had a nephew named Doug Weed, and Doug Weed was a young evangelist, and he would come speak at the church. I actually got to know him when I was a senior in high school. He would have been a couple years older, and he had a huge impact on me, and I have done some podcasts with him. In fact, one of my biggest podcasts ever was not long ago on the Strang Report. You can look it up on the Charisma Podcast Network and listen to it. And then over time, he got involved more in business, and then he got involved in raising money for various charities and got some high-ranking politicians to even help him. Pat Boone was one. Ronald Reagan was one. He got to know the Bushes before he became president. He helped George H.W. Bush actually get elected because they didn't know a lot about evangelicals, and Doug became their kind of go-to guy. He even was kind of rewarded, so to speak, with a job in the White House, and he was my main contact with President George H.W. Bush. In fact, when he was just thinking about running for president, he was in Central Florida, and Doug put together a group of people, and I was privileged to be invited, and the Straders were there, and they had some kind of official photographer who snapped a picture of me shaking hands with George Bush, and the Straders are behind me. I mean, I have that picture in my office. I see it with some regularity, and there's just so many memories. Doug, of course, was a very successful writer and was helpful to me when I was starting Charisma. He was a real encouragement to me. And then over time, our lives kind of went in different directions, but I've reconnected with him later. And people have sometimes thought that I was related to Doug, and it wasn't. He was related to Joyce Strader. The Straders were very close to me and my family. In fact, I just remember things kind of randomly, but my parents celebrated their 20th wedding anniversary when we lived in Lakeland, and my two younger siblings, we were all teenagers at the time, put together a little reception in our home, and the Straders actually took my parents to dinner to, I guess, help us hide the fact that we were having a surprise party, and then they brought it back to the house after dinner, and the people were there, and it wasn't much of a party. I wasn't very sophisticated party going, but we had cake, and people said a few words, and it was kind of the best I could do at 18 years old. But I mean, our families interacted in so many ways at so many levels for so many years. Then in the 1990s, Rodney Howard Brown, you know, had those meetings at Carpenter's Home Church that went on for months and months and months. I was impacted by that as well. It's kind of how I got to know Rodney Howard Brown. We're still friends all these years later. I was always real proud that Carpenter's Home Church became a big church because it was my church. I could remember it as a teenager. I was involved in the youth group. It was kind of a difficult time in my life. I was trying to kind of sort out things for myself. And Brother Strader helped me in that era. I can remember that the abortion issue was just beginning to be center stage. At the time, it was mostly the Catholics that were standing up against abortion. This was before Roe v. Wade. And I can remember making an appointment to talk to Brother Strader about it. I was a student at the University of Florida, and I was just trying to sort out. I was never for abortion, but I can remember that I talked to him about the fact that my mother had three miscarriages, and our family, the miscarriages were very early in her pregnancy. One was before I was born. Two were, I actually remember her being taken off to the hospital. We kids didn't even know that she was expecting, and the family did not treat them as deaths. You know, the child didn't have a name, and we didn't have a burial. Of course, they didn't tell us kids much. You know, I would have been maybe 10 years old at the time. And I can remember talking to him about that, kind of like, when did life begin? When did a person become a person? And, you know, now that he's gone, the memories are flooding back of the things that, how our lives interacted and the impact he had for me. I had so much respect for him. I really hurt when his church split. I actually had relatives who went to that church that ended up on both sides of the split. I supported Brother Strader as much as I could. I really felt that he was wronged in a lot of ways, but, you know, that's water under the bridge, and, you know, life goes on. And there were other difficult things that happened in his life, but, you know, he was always strong. He was always true. He used to say, I remember when I was a kid, he used to say he never had a blue day, which meant he was never discouraged. And then later on, he said, yes, he had some blue days, I guess, just with some of the things that happened, the details of which I'm not going to really go into. I kept in touch with him over the years. And 2 years ago, I was in Lakeland. I don't remember what took me down there, but I made arrangements ahead of time to make an appointment to go see him. He was at the Carpenter's Home Estates, which is a beautiful retirement center, which actually he was involved in the founding of it. And then all these years later, in his own old age, he was a resident there. My mother-in-law, Rose Cameron Farrell, lived there for a while when she was recuperating. She was in a car wreck and was recuperating. And so Joy and I were down there with some regularity. It was just a beautiful, beautiful facility. When her husband, my father-in-law, Harvey Farrell, passed away, Brother and Sister Farrell went to Carpenter's Home Church in their retirement years. And Brother Farrell actually had a Sunday school group. And it was quite a large Sunday school class. And it gave him an opportunity to minister right up until the time he had a stroke. And then a few years later, when he passed away, Brother Strader preached the funeral. It was a beautiful funeral, and it meant so much to the family. And then when Rose Farrell died a number of years later, we had her funeral up in Orlando, and somebody else preached the funeral. But the graveside service was in Lakeland, where both of my in-laws are buried, and Brother Strader came out and did a wonderful job. He just had such a way with words, and he was so comforting and loving. And of course, he knew both of the Farrells and had a lot of love and respect for them, as he did the whole family. So this is not really an obituary. I'm not really talking about all the great things he did, except in passing. I'm telling you from my perspective, this is absolutely heartfelt. It is absolutely unrehearsed. I just got in front of a microphone and recorded my thoughts. I'll miss Brother Strader, but we know that no one lives forever. I'm glad that I was able to go say goodbye to him one last time. It wasn't really goodbye. We just visited, and I asked him how he was. Sister Strader had passed away a few years before. Joy and I drove down to her funeral. It was at Stephen Strader's church there in Lakeland. It was absolutely packed. And it was so, we miss her, and Brother Strader was in alone for a number of years. Now with the coronavirus thing going around, they can't have a funeral, at least not right away. But I'm sure they'll have a memorial service later. But he left an impact on so many people. There are thousands and thousands of people that will be in heaven because of his life and influence. And he influenced many other leaders, not just me. And I have no doubt that being in his church, being his friend, being influenced by him, you know, he was never a peer. I never in my life one time called him Carl. It was always Brother Strader or Pastor Strader. But we were friends. And I told someone today, just moments after I heard that he died, that I had lost a friend, mentor, and a former pastor. I loved him. I know many other people loved him. And a lot of people that are listening probably did not know Brother Strader, but I hope that you appreciated what I have to share. It does come straight from my heart. I'll probably listen to it later and think of all kinds of things that I didn't say. But like I said, it's just a few hours ago that I found out that he went to heaven. And maybe I'll write something later. Maybe I'll do a second podcast. Time will tell. But this is my way to just express my love and appreciation. And since I know that his kids will listen to this, mainly Stephen, who's the one I have ties to, but also Danny and Carla and Don, I watched all of them grow up. And they're all serving the Lord. And I know this is a difficult time to go through. Maybe Doug Weed will listen to it. Who knows? I just want to extend my sympathies to everyone in the family for the life. And thank God. I thank God for the life of this great man. And I know he broke heaven wide open. We use these cliches, but in his case, I think it's really true. He's a great man of God. He'll be greatly missed. I thank God. I'll thank God every time I see that picture with George H.W. Bush. And also, I have a framed copy of that first book, Mount Moving Motivation, that's got his picture on the front. He was on the cover of Charisma magazine a couple of times. He wrote some articles for us. I could go on and on. I'm starting to repeat myself. So I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. It was a little bit different. I don't very often have an opportunity to eulogize a man who I respected and loved as much as Carl Strader. He'll be missed.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.